This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 28th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We're going to talk about radio with Nick in Baltimore. Bonnie and Butternut's got advice for Jim, and have I got a story for you. Actually, this ties into radio because we're talking about a guy named Randy Williams, who's nothing if not creative. If you've never heard of him, maybe you have under his alias R-Dub. His slow jam show is on about 200 radio stations. He's actually born in Chicago for 3 years. His mother divorced, moved to Los Angeles for next 10 years, loved it. But at 13, mom gets remarried, moves back to Chicago. He says, not going. He goes to live with dad in Orlando, learns to despise it. But luckily, when he was 16, mom and dad relocated to Tucson. He said, well, it's close to California. I'll go there. And that, at 16 years old, is when he started in radio. And he was doing a once-a-week slow jam show, Night Flight. And then he was on 1490 in a small AM station in Tucson. And that's when he named himself R-Dub and premiered what was the first edition of what is a very popular now show, Sunday Night Slow Jams. And that was 1994. For a moment there, he was in Knoxville at WKGN. Man, did he hate that. And came right back to Tucson to KQHT, which was somewhat bilingual and purchased by Art LeBeau. At first, he and Art did not get along, but ultimately, in fact, he was fired, I don't think, by Art, but ultimately, they did become close. In fact, LeBeau became his mentor. And by the turn of the century, his Sunday night show was in Nogales and Tulsa, Oklahoma. So it was kind of going. And he ultimately moved to Los Angeles, was programming there. Then he took a sabbatical and moved to Brazil for 3 years. Wait until I tell you what else he did. But then he moved to San Diego about 15 years ago now, and as PD of XHRM and XHITZ. Of course, the XH mean their FM stations. Okay, so that's what he does. That's not what's interesting. All right, here's the part. Firstly, he had a hobby. The kind of hobby that only 250 of us worldwide have ever had, I think. He decided he was going to visit all 193 United Nations member states. And he actually got to 192 before COVID hit. And so there was one left. And so here he was sitting at home, and he thought, well, if I can't travel, I'm just going to become the sultan of my own micronation. And so the Republic of Slow Jamistan was born. Now, this place actually exists. Oh, I'm sure the U.S. government doesn't think much of it, but he became inspired to create a country after visiting the Republic of Molossia in Dayton, Nevada. Somebody else had a micronation there. So when he returned from there, he immediately began working on his own micronation, and sure enough, it was an ad in the paper where he could get 11 acres of desert land in California. California for $19,000. And so it was that he declared, after he bought it, the Republic of Slojamistan was an independent state. Now, at that point, Slojamistan had absolutely no building structures whatsoever. It had a border sign. Beside actually Route 78. He had a border control post, and best part, he and his friend drug a big desk, a big presidential-like desk to the desert and just left it there. And it gets hilarious after this. So $19,000, he's got himself a country. And so, as I say, he enlists his best friend, and they're going out to the desert. And so there they unload the presidential-looking desk in the middle of the desert, and they started putting up road signs on State Road 78. Local authorities, by the way, didn't tell them that they had to come down, but they said they're sitting too close to the road, so they moved them, and the signs were fine. So there was a five-year escalation. It now includes today a border checkpoint, a national police force, a fire truck, a broken-down submarine named the SS Badassin, designed to protect the land from any smuggling, a national anthem sung to the tune of Elton John's Rocket Man, and a minted currency. The land's been divided into two separate states, among them Dublandia and Buxylvania. And Dublandia is in Buxylvania. The other one is the Queendom of Hot Damistan. So the Sultan's look, he just got a picture of Muammar Gaddafi, and kind of did a theatrical style of that with a pressed military uniform and dark sunglasses and ornate detailing. And he speaks in an accent that he calls GFA. That's his general foreign accent, complete with rolled R's and elongated vowels. And there's a collection of actual dictatorship propaganda adorning the walls of his consulate, which is in his office, actually, at the radio station. That's right. There is no office in this country. This country, by the way, now has 25,000 citizens. I don't think many of them have ever been there. And it's a nation after my own heart. It is a build on the concept of zero politics. Slojamistan, you register. And by the way, people from over 120 countries have registered. It's free, which is more than the recognized populations of Vatican City, Tuvalu, Palau. And it's an online form free of charge. Now, if you want a more formal relationship with the dictatorship, there are paid titles available. Ambassadors pay $10 to $25 a month. That's right, you pay them. That's the way it works. Anyone can become a member of parliament for a modest fee. And R-Dub explains it. Hey, maybe you're a guy in Northern California and you want to make your LinkedIn page a lot stronger. Boom, you're a member of parliament. So this reminds me of that area of Arizona with the yacht club, the Quartzsite Yacht Club. I think we've talked about that before. Anyway, what unites the citizens from 120 nations is not really civic pride, then just the need for a break. So Slojamistan's founding law bans the discussion of real-world politics entirely by constitutional decree. That's right. In a moment where Americans are obviously losing friends and family over political disagreement, this is escape from all of that. And now, what's most interesting is maybe unusual, but not new, not unique. There are hundreds of micronations worldwide. Some of them are in international waters, probably have more standing there. Others are in suburban backyards. And so next year, Slojamistan is hosting MicroCon, a gathering of more than 43 self-proclaimed nation states, from the Bomber Republic to Dragon Isle. The website describes it as cosplay meets statecraft, which is probably accurate. By the way, the last nation that of the 193 in the UN that R-Dub needed to visit, he finally made it there, Turkmenistan. That was the last remaining UN-recognized country. He made it there in May of 2023. So that was the original quest. And COVID caused him to start reading the paper and the real estate listings. And so that was obviously as a gag initially, but turned out to be many things to many people, including a desk in the desert. And he says proudly, Slojamistan doesn't belong to me. Then he pauses and says, well, I am a dictator, but really it belongs to everyone. I think that's just a great idea. Yeah, I have no, obviously he's not trying to do much that would bother the state of California, and I'm sure that if he did, that would be the end of it. But for the time being, isn't it a lot of fun? He's the sultan of a sovereign nation, don't you know, that just happens to be in Imperial County, California. All right, so there you have it. Top that radio story. Nick in Baltimore, welcome to WGN.
I think I can. That's an interesting story.
Isn't it? I just love this guy. Good for him.
That's really cool. You know, what did they say? The necessity is the mother of invention.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think more people are maybe going to check out his Sunday night slow jam show.
Did you say one of them is Bomber Republic?
Yes, Bomber Republic is one of them, and the other one. What was the other one? Dragon Isle.
Dragon Isle.
Dragon, as in fiery beast. Dragon Isle.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so, Dragon Isle. Okay.
Right. They have a national anthem. It's a raccoon. I mean, a national animal. It's the national animal. It is a raccoon. That's really neat.
I can't top that.
I know. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to leave Nick right there and talk about radio a moment here while I talk about the Sea Crane radio. And, you know, Bob Crane developed just great reception on radios at a time when reception was just lousy. And that's really the hallmark of the Sea Crane Company. And when I talk about their Wi-Fi radio, the CC Wi-Fi 3, and I tell you it has great reception, you probably think I've gone out of my mind, but I'm not talking AM and FM in this case. I'm talking about something that will connect even the most lackluster Wi-Fi router or wireless access point. If you have trouble connecting, if you're always buffering and everything else on your Wi-Fi radio, or if it's just complicated. Some of them really are. Well, I'll tell you what, the simple solution is the CC Wi-Fi 3 internet radio. Firstly, the sound is great. Better than a smartphone as far as that goes. And no statics, no dropouts, because it's going to connect. Now, of course, what you get, like any internet radio, is thousands of radio stations from across the country and around the world. Now, yes, you could say, well, I can go online and listen to that. God knows how many commercials you're going to hear. Well, with the CC Wi-Fi 3, there are no apps to download, no microphone listening in to you, no ads on the screen, no monthly fees, and it's got a full-size remote control. And on top of that, it's easy to use. I plunked one down on John's desk. He didn't even pick up the manual. He had himself listening to what he wanted to hear in minutes. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3 internet radio. I think you're going to like this. Now, if you can't go online, you probably don't want one, but you may be thinking of one as a gift, or maybe you do want one, but have some questions. Well, either way, they've got a great phone number with wonderful customer service reps, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. I think you'll like it as much as I do. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Bitty-boppy-betty, bitty-boppy-betty-boo-boo. On week and cheese your honey, then comes Monday, and that'll be sir to you.
Bitty-boppy-betty, better known as Billy, he's the up-and-coming local DA. A fearless crime fighter, political insider, sure to be mayor one day. But after work on Fridays, off comes his necktie, and on come her diamonds and pearls. You better get ready, cause now Billy's Betty, everybody's favorite girl.
The underbelly of the city, that's where you'll find Betty, Friday to Sunday night. Is she working undercover,
or just a fun lover?
Either way, that's alright.
Bitty Boppy Betty, what a bouncy beauty, so sophisticated and refined. She's a boy who doesn't show it, and though the guys all know it, none of them seems to mind. When Betty starts a bopping, the joint starts a hopping, she can twist and bend the whole night through. You really can't ignore her, and if
you don't adore her, there might be something wrong with you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Pink Martini, 2009. And that's, yes, Betty, Billy Boppy Betty. Yeah, all right. Well, it's cut 10 on the CD. Every time I hear it, I just laugh. Yeah, there's a number of videos on it. Yeah, Biddy Boppy Betty, that's what it is. And yeah, there's one cartoon one that's just classic. But anyway, that's the deal there. Now, back to Nick in Baltimore.
Yeah, there you go. One thing I wanted to add about the CC Wi-Fi 3.
Yes.
That is a neat radio. It's 5 volts.
Uh-huh.
The USB port, it goes into a USB connection. Also, they give you an adapter.
Yeah.
And it has a nice outboard antenna on it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the only complaint I've ever heard from anybody is you cannot hardwire it. It doesn't have an RJ45 jack. But let's face it, 99% of all people wanting a Wi-Fi radio are going to connect it wirelessly.
Right. Yeah. And it's a neat set, and it's a nice readout on it. It's easy to read. So
yeah.
And there you go. The thing I wanted to mention, because I know we're coming up on the break here, is KNX in Los Angeles. They're going to be splitting the simulcast. The FM's going to go sports, and the AM's going to do the all-news format. So.
And, of course, the KNX FM now is not the KNX of days gone by at 93.1. This is 97.1. This is the old KGBS FM.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, sports. So, I think fan radio.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, they've got a fan in every market. Right?
Yeah, and, you know, the signal is all right, but it is not it's not a Mount Wilson signal as far as that goes. That 97.1 has some holes when you're talking about market-wide. And when you're going for all sports, they're a Flint Peak station. I'm pretty sure they're still on Flint Peak. I'll have to look. The poor people who left Flint Peak thinking they could go on Wilson with reduced power, they would have been better off staying where they were. But I'm pretty sure that 97.1 is Flint Peak.
Because I knew it was like 21,000 watts or something. Yeah. It's not like the others. That's what I wanted to report to you. But it's good that they're going to push that AM signal. I'm glad because that AM is a killer signal.
Oh no! Look, I just looked this up. It says that they moved it, and there goes your reduced wattage. I guess they moved it to Mount Wilson. Oh. That's interesting. I know KROQ is still Flint Peak, and KXOL, the 96.3, that's still Flint Peak, but that's interesting. All right, well, I haven't driven it to know if that's good or bad news.
No, I like the AM, so.
Yeah, well, they had to give up some power, that's for sure, because they were grandfathered into some good power on Flint Peak, but I don't know. I'll take a look at that and report back.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good to talk
to you. Hey, thanks.
All right. So, yes, we'll see what we can find out there. We'll get to Bonnie and Butternut right after the news, who's got advice for Jim, and I want to hear it. And hopefully Jim is listening and will too. And Victor in Silver Spring, we're going to talk about DXing. So that's always a lot of fun, yeah, particularly twilight time. That's right, right before dawn and right before dusk. Yeah, the world becomes your oyster before some of the pattern changes. All right, so we'll pick it up there right after this on WGN Radio.
One early morning, as I was walking, I met a woman who started talking. I took her home to get a few nips, but all I had was mint julep. One mint julep was the cause of it all. I don't remember how it started, but all I know is we should have bought it. I stole a kiss. kiss and then another. I didn't mean to take it further. What meant you left was the cause of it all. The lights were burning. There in the parlor went through the kitchen door. I popped her father, he said, I saw you when you kissed my daughter. Got to wait right now. Oh, face of slaughter.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1952, Yellow Atlantic. Absolutely. And that was the Clovers, One Mint Julep, and John in Covington wanted to hear it. You know, I say Yellow Atlantic because those 45s were so collectible, and I remember I used to run after those, and I got so many, and just, of course, later they changed to the red and black that we know of Atlantic today, which actually was what they were using on the 78s on the shellacs. But, man, those Yellow Atlantics were just special, or so I thought. And then I was talking to Jerry Wexler about it once, who was there at the time during the switch, and I said, what precipitated the switch from yellow to red Atlantic? And he said, printer ran out of yellow ink. Burst my bubble. All right, Bonnie and Butternut, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Just have a few pointers for Jim. Hopefully it can help.
Okay.
I don't know what county he lives in, so therefore, I don't have a phone number for that. But if he can tell us what county, we can probably get the phone number for him. But first of all, it's ADRC.
Yeah. By the way, I know what county he's in. It's Walworth, Walworth, Walworth.
Okay,
county.
Well, but, then we can we can go from there. But I have another phone number. But this is the for the county, the ADRC, which is the program for the aged.
Yep.
And they usually can begin there and bundle, you know, it's a starting point.
And you know what? We've given all this information to Jim over the years, and I mean all of it. The number of resources we've passed on is staggering.
And then it's the Wisconsin State, Wisconsin Blind and Visually Impaired.
Right.
Which will help him with technical support.
Yep.
And I do have that number.
Okay.
888-879-0017.
Okay, good. And as I say, yeah, we've gotten it all to him in the past. I don't think there is an agency that we haven't tried to hook him up with.
Okay. Well, just thinking about him, and
well, thank you.
You know, he has a lot of support out there. He's a lucky man to have a whole network of people trying to give him pointers. So
I just ran across
this being in Wisconsin. I was looking up some other departments and ran across this. So I thought, well, perhaps this might help him, but I didn't know what county he was in.
Yeah, so. Walworth. So that's great, though. But no, we have, and some of it proved out not to be useful to him, and some of it, I don't know why there was no follow-through, or maybe there was not enough in terms of services, which is one of the reasons many of you listening, and I'm among them, have hoped that Jim would get out of Richmond and be in a place where he would be able to more accessibly reach a number of things.
Well, you know, I'm up here in Butternut, and it's a very small town.
Yes.
And it's all elderly, old. I'm 81.
Uh-huh.
And there's still people older than I.
Sure.
Which are receiving help or have someone helping them and pointing them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Without having family. And that's, I believe, where he is. It's a little bit larger town. And if, you know, that ADRC, It's the starting point where they can maybe help him bundle everything together and tell him this would be good and that would be good and start from there. Because I know they will help him with transportation.
Yeah, to a degree. And we've talked about that. There are some places he can get in terms of transportation and other places he can't. Now, I think that that Richmond itself has about 1,900 people. The county, which is a lot larger, has over 100,000 people. So that's the situation. But yeah, it's all good information. And, you know, I appreciate your thinking of it. But I'm pretty sure all of this we have passed on to him over the years.
Well, okay, give it a shot. And
absolutely.
Then one other quick thing.
Yes.
There's an instrumental, Teen Beat.
Oh, sure, Sandy Nelson.
Yes. Yeah. Are there a lot of instrumentals from
sure.
those years?
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I always think part of the reason is back then, the FCC mandated that all the stations do news every hour. And so all these top 40 stations had to break for news. And what's interesting is as you back time into it, if you have a network, it's got to be exact time. And the easiest way to do exact time is to back time an instrumental. So I always said that all of them should be called This Will Take Us Up to News. But there were a ton of them. And so, sure. In fact, got a request for the Ramrods Ghost Rider. So, absolutely. You know, everybody from the Ventures on tons of instrumentals. But Teen Beat, yes, yeah, Sandy Nelson was great. And he was a session drummer, too, in L.A. And sadly, in a motorcycle accident, he lost a leg, came back and played drums again. So,
Have a chance, you know,
yep, Teen Beat.
Put a little of that on.
Absolutely.
And
he released it twice.
And I will.
Yeah, he released it twice, two different, slightly different versions, but I'll be happy to play Teen Beat for you. You betcha I will.
And then the original Hound Dog by
Big Mama Thornton.
Yeah.
Okay. You betcha.
And then I was so surprised when I hear some of the listeners out there when you played Bing Crosby the other night.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of us old folks out there that are enjoying all those old ones.
Oh, sure. And, you know, the origins of Top 40 was it was the 40 most popular songs. And so it wasn't unusual on a Top 40 station to, you know, go from Elvis Presley into, you know, Magic Moments by Perry Como or something like that. I mean, it really was across the board. So Bing Crosby was not out of line.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It makes me feel young. Yes.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks, Bonnie. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening,
you
everybody.
Too. All right. So there you have it. And thanks for the information. And I think Jim has it. But if not, he certainly should look into all of that and more. 888-876-5593. We're going to talk DXing with Victor in Silver Springs and requests with Cindy in Chicago. And speaking of requests, yeah, maybe I'll play Cindy's next. She wanted L-O-V-E by Nat King Cole. All right. We'll do that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can't make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. For the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Nat King Cole and L-O-V-E on Capitol. Yeah, the house that Nat built. And that was for Cindy. Now, before we get to Cindy here, and we will in a moment, a couple things. For one thing, you know, I do my homework and then I forget to tell you about it. But for Nick, I told him I'd find out. Yeah, 97.1 was on Flint Peak, probably at 750 feet, but they're talking mid-60s here. At the time, 58,000 watts, which, of course, since Los Angeles is a Class B market, you're seeing a lot of stations that are eclipsing that 50,000 watt limitation. And there were 58,000. And they didn't go to, this is why I didn't know they went to Mount Wilson. I was so long gone. But they did after this century, about 2002, 3,002 feet, but they're at 21,000 watts. So that's the deal. Now, Cute, I always use this as the example. They've improved it somewhat, but Cute had been near Flint Peak, actually slight below it, and they had a ton of water. They had 82,000 watts, but they didn't have much in the way of height at all. And so they did a deal. Oh, gosh, this must be the late 80s, I'm thinking, where they were going to get on Mount Wilson that worked on paper, but it was literally like 600 watts. And I thought, this may work on paper, but this is not going to work in the air. And so they got out there with their 600 watts or so, and it was terrible. It was worse than Flint Peak. But what ultimately happened, they got up to 4,800 watts. And I think they're at about 2,800 foot level or so, but at 4,800 watts, and I assume that that dramatically improved the signal, but I haven't driven the signals in a while. But so that's the deal on 97.1, and just for grins, 101.9. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Cindy is in Chicago. So all right, Cindy, you heard your Nat King Cole. Are you with us, Cindy? What, we lost Cindy? I hope she heard her request, but she seems to have gone the way of all flesh, for the moment anyway. And John says a couple things. For one thing, Mike in Elmwood Park had requests. So, all right, Mike, what you want to hear?
By Nat King Cole, Ramblin' Rose, and Hazy Crazy Days of Summer.
Okay.
I always did like him. He was a great singer.
Absolutely. All right, we'll do it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so I got to write down Mike in Elmwood Park so I know who did the request. I got a couple of requests I'm going to play tonight, and I don't know who asked for them, but we'll get there. Okay, so Mike in Elmwood Park, all right, taken care of. And with that in mind, I'll stop ending sentences and prepositions and talk to Victor in Silver Spring. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Victor.
Thank you.
What's up tonight?
Well... If Nick is still listening, I have a Sea Crane a product that he can buy. It's called the SkyWave.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine had it. He tested it out. He says it's not blind friendly, so I couldn't have one. But the one feature on this Sea Crane SkyWave radio is you could listen to the aircraft.
Yes, if they're VHF, not UHF. Now, you're talking about air traffic controllers. And
yes.
There's two different systems. Some are on VHF and some are on UHF. This radio will give you anybody who's on VHF.
Yeah, because I gave them out as presents over the years.
Yeah, they're fun.
And it's a good little radio to have.
I agree.
So, anyhow, when I was at the Maryland School for the Blind, this was like in the, I guess, spring of 1966. I'm DXing. I got the TV going, and I'm getting like Channel 3 and Havana and Channel 4 and New Orleans,
right.
And Miami and Cuba. And one of my friends, came in the room, and he says, I hope you're not doing this because you're wearing the tubes out.
Oh,
and I started laughing.
That's hilarious.
I started laughing.
Yeah.
And then the house mother got into the act and told me to turn it off because I was wearing the tubes out. And I just laughed at her, too. So the next day in chapel, the principal says, I want to see Victor Schmidt in my office. So I went down... And he says, I understand you were doing a little DXing tell me some of the stations you pulled in. So I told him what I was pulling in.
Yeah.
And he says, next time when the house mother tells you to turn off the TV, do me a favor. I don't want to be hassled by her.
That's funny. Absolutely. Well, you know, FM DXing is and TV DXing both are just so much fun because that tropo ducting brings in things that you otherwise will never hear or see.
Yes, and, yeah, the ducting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a friend of mine came to the house. She wanted to borrow something, and there was a full-blown skip, and she says, I don't believe it. And I said, what don't you believe? I said, I'm standing here looking at your TV, and I saw the test pattern that said CMQ TV Havana.
Uh-huh.
And they signed on, they played their national anthem, and then they started showing cartoons that I watched in 1956.
Right, right. Well, that matches the cars they were driving. But yes, and the neat thing about ducting, as you know, is when it happens, you tend to get all the stations from one area, but only that area. And so it's really something else when you're, you know, driving through Baltimore and you're hearing every station in Tampa. And as I've said many times, things that you wouldn't even pay attention to when you're on the ground in Tampa suddenly become fascinating when you're hearing them in Baltimore.
Yeah, I've had several DX experiences over the years where, for maybe a couple of hours,
yeah.
I got every single FM station in Des Moines,
right.
Iowa,
right.
And then another time I got every single station in Omaha. It was really neat, and I think my all-time favorite catch, and I got it on tape, I got VOCM in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Okay, all right, that is nice. But yeah, I remember for whatever reason, I'd usually run into every station from Little Rock, and it's like, how many of those do you actually want to hear? But it is
exactly.
But it is fun when it's, you know, 1,000 miles away and there's a bunch of them. So yeah, ducting's a lot of fun, and summer's coming up, so hopefully you'll make the most of it.
Yeah, I hope skip season will be good.
Yeah.
It hasn't been good for the last few years.
Yeah, I know.
But I remember taping this one country music station from where was it? It was in Minnesota.
Okay.
And that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I do have some of these catches on tape.
That's always fun.
Pardon?
That's always fun to be able to keep the
tape. Yeah,
tape.
I can
sure.
play them back.
Yeah.
And let my friend say, this is what you got? And I said, oh, yeah. And I remember when I was living, we just moved to Bethesda, Maryland in 1965, and the TV guy came over and put up a brand new antenna. So he's in the room. We're checking out the channels. And
Victor, hang on. You can either go or not, but I got the news, so don't go away. All right, we'll pick it up right there after the news on WGN Radio. For Bonnie and Butternut, that's Teen Beat, Sandy Nelson, 1959 on WGN Radio. And that was on Original Sound. That was Art LeBeau's label and studio. And that was a big hit. In fact, an album on Liberty followed, and then Liberty had bought Imperial. And then in 64, they re-released it as Teen Beat 65. And not as good, to say the least, and not as much of a hit either, but Sandy Nelson had a heck of a career. As I mentioned, he was a session musician in Los Angeles, and he played on hundreds of sessions, rock and jazz, as far as that goes, and he had over 30 albums himself, many of which after Teen Beat, as far as that goes, but he was a Los Angeles product through and through, and on the Teddy Bears, Phil Spector's first To Know Him Is to Love Him, he was the drummer. Here's the drummer on Alley Oop, Hollywood Argyles, and Thousand Stars, Kathy Young, and the deal on Teen Beat on Original Sound. That was a top five record nationally in Billboard with over a million copies, which what made Imperial so very interested. And other top 40 hits like Let There Be Drums and all that. And as I mentioned, the end of 63 had that horrible motorcycle accident. But he came back from that and continued to record into the 70s and tons of stuff. So sadly, left us in February on Valentine's Day 2022. He, 83 years old, complicated of a stroke that he had about 7 years earlier. All right, so let's see. I rudely interrupt Victor. Are you still with us, Victor?
Yes, I am.
Sorry about that. Nothing waits for the news, not even me.
Okay, one more DX story. This involves my sister. Yeah. It's 1967. My family moved to Juneau, Alaska.
Whoa.
So my sister and two of her friends decided to climb up this mountain with a battery-operated TV. So they get to the top of the mountain. Now, this is Juneau.
Right.
So they turn on the TV while they're at the top of the mountain, and they were getting Seattle TV stations.
Oh, wow. I would assume they would also get some British Columbia, like Vancouver.
Yes, on different frequencies.
Yeah.
But they told me that they got the Seattle station as well. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. With the water and all of that stuff. Not totally surprised. Man, Juneau, why did your family move to Juneau?
My father was in the Coast Guard, and they stationed him in Juneau for a couple of years. And I stayed with my grandparents in D.C. so I could finish my last year at the Maryland School for the Blind.
Ah, okay. But you went up and visited, I'll bet.
No, I never went to Juneau, but when my parents moved to Anchorage, I went up there for their 50th anniversary, and I was up there for my father's funeral.
Oh.
It was a 9-hour flight.
Oh, it's a good long way. But, Anchorage is pretty good. It's got everything you'd need.
Oh, yeah. And while I was up there, I felt a little tremor. My father said, "Did you feel the earthquake?"
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, of course, the big one in 64, they have Earthquake Park after all the destruction. But, you'll get some tremors up there, that's for sure. But awfully pretty. So your parents stayed up there?
Yes. When my father retired, he stayed up in Anchorage, yeah.
Wow. Neat. All right.
And then my sister lived up there, and she became, she works for the Bureau of Immigration and Naturalization at the time. Now it's Security.
Right, Homeland
something.
Security, right.
Yeah. But I went up there a couple of times. It was very interesting. I couldn't get any stations outside Anchorage, even at night.
Wow, not even Fairbanks?
No.
Wow. Interesting.
because we're surrounded by mountains.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Yeah, FM would be a bitch, but I would think you at night you could do some AM DXing, but I guess not.
I have heard of people getting WBZ when they were up in Alaska.
Uh-huh. Yeah, on Skip.
It so that was quite interesting. But anyway, I want to let you go so other callers can get in here. But
I'm delighted.
That was my last DX story.
Delighted that you called. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You take care.
Okay, you too. Yeah, so a lot of interesting DXing in Alaska, actually. And so, but as far as like a BZ, man, that when that happens, that's special because it will not reliably happen regularly. All right, so let's see. Cindy has called us back, has she? All right, Cindy, what's on your mind?
Yeah, my phone died.
Oh, well, it happens.
Normally, I just plug it in for when I'm on the phone with you. I just plug it in,
uh-huh.
But I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I planted my flowers on the balcony today.
Very nice.
Yeah. Three geraniums, white, pink, and red.
Okay.
Petunias all around them in my pot on my balcony.
All right.
But anyhow, I have two requests.
You do, do you?
My usual Roaring Twenties song.
Oh, God help us.
One is I Found You in the Rain. That's a nice song.
Uh-huh. Who did that?
I wouldn't have no famous idea.
Well, I Found You in the Rain. Usually when you give me requests, they might not be my favorites, but at least I know what they are. I'm not sure I know what I Found You in the Rain is. Let's look, this 20s, huh? Let's look this up together and see what we can find out. I Found You in the Rain. In the Rain. All right, let's see. If we even get a hit on that. Oh, yes, Harold Barlow and Chopin. This is a Chopin. This is based on a Chopin record. No, that can't be right.
Oh, no, no. Well, yeah, Chopin was my favorite. I could play him.
I'm allergic to classical music, but I noticed that Xavier Cugat had a version of this, believe it or not. In 1942. There are only 7 known versions of it, which is probably 7 too many, actually, I don't know. But we have Xavier Cugat in 1942. So I will play that, if nothing else, just to hear the damn thing.
Well, can you play the original one from the 20s?
It's not from the 20s. It's November of
1941. Oh,
okay. I found you in the Rain is originally by Claude Thornhill and his orchestra, vocal by Dick Harding, November of 1941. It was also at the same time released by Glenn Gray and the Casa Loma Orchestra with a vocal chorus by Kenny Sargent. I figure a few months later when Xavier Cugat did it, it'd probably be the best of versions.
All right, and then there's another song. It's kind of cute. She has it, that's all, you know, and then the song says she has enough of such and such.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess he's talking about he found a girl with real strong social skills.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's what it's about. It's a cute song.
And it's from the 20s.
I guess.
All right. Huh. I'm not
flapper music.
Flapper music.
Flapper,
huh? Okay.
Flapper music.
I have no idea what this would be. It's amazing you find them. But let's see what we're doing. No, don't put in flapper. Forget about that.
she has enough of such and such.
She has enough of such and such. You think so, huh? Well, let's see what we get. No, it's not Yes, Sir, That's My Baby, I'm sure. And we know it's not Sweet Georgia Brown or Charleston. No, I'll tell you. You'll have to find out and tell me, and when you do, I will find a way to play it.
All right. And then if you want to play this song, I mean, I heard it today, and I really like Dean Martin. Everybody loves somebody sometime.
Yeah, a big hit.
Well, yeah, I really like that song.
At least I know that. Well, I'm going to play I Found You in the Rain, only because now I'm curious what the hell that sounds like. We'll find out together. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, all right, why not? Yeah, she comes up with them. Why not? If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio. I'm sorry, Cindy. Love you, bud. All right, that's the original I Found You in the Rain, Claude Thornhill. I couldn't find the Xavier Cugat, and that's probably just as well. I did find the other version of that. We're not going to hear it. All right, so for those of you who are Chopin fans, you can find I Found You in the Rain right on YouTube. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we have another hour and a half to spend together, and if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, too. There will be no classical music to the show, but Billy Bob did want a couple Louis Prima records. I think that I can accomplish that. In the meantime, Naoto is in Japan. What's up, Naoto?
Yeah, I'm doing well, and I just wanted to say thank you for playing my request last week.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was very nice with, your knowledge on Mrs. Mira.
Yeah, right, exactly. The sad part is that she believed every bit of it.
But I think it's kind of, like a funny part. Too.
Oh, it's hilarious, but to think that she was never in on the joke. She passed away not even in on the joke. So I guess it happens. Well, she's on the other side now. She's probably mad as hell. But anyway.
Yeah.
So what else do you want to hear?
Well, maybe I can just what was the song? Natural?
What?
I think it was Lash LaRue by Saba.
Oh, Lash LaRue. Yeah, Lash LaRue. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll be happy to play that for you. I actually have it. You betcha. That's a 70s record. Yeah, that's Starbuck. You will hear Lash LaRue. My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, yeah, Starbuck. Mr. Moonlight feels right. All right, so, yes, Mississippi Zone. All right, so, Fran is in Austin. What's happening, Fran?
Oh, not much. We went out to dinner tonight for Gary's birthday.
Yay, where'd you go?
And we went to this place called Lapa Lapa. It's a Mexican restaurant. Yeah. And I thought of you because I had, for the first time in a long time, a nice big Mexican Coke.
Oh, wasn't it nice?
Oh, it was. The only thing about it was they did not chill it right.
You have to. You got to tell them, put it in that freezer just as the ice crystals are forming. Bring that puppy out.
So, I had it, but I didn't have it quite the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to do that here.
Yeah. It's so true. When we're out, there'll be places that, and John will say, don't you want a Mexican Coke? I'm like, no, they won't do it right. So...
So, yeah, I actually, and I know this is sacrilege, but I actually had to pour it over ice.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And it's like, oh, no, it was still good, but it would have been better. Next time I have one, I'm just going to, the only thing is, if I can't buy just one, if I do, I'll just have one. I'll drink all four of them.
Well, I understand.
Or six of them.
They come in four packs, but they also come as individual bottles. So you can buy an individual bottle if that's what you want. Now,
I've only seen the four packs.
Oh, no, no. I can't imagine what's wrong with Austin. Yeah, they have the individual bottles here, but, you know, when I buy them, I've got to buy at least 20 at a time.
Well, because I buy a lot of my groceries, you know, online, I might not see the, you know, they always, don't always show you everything they have.
Yeah.
And so I'll have to just get off my butt and go over there and get one. But I had one today, and it was good, and I had shrimp tacos. They were delicious.
Oh, nice. Nice choice.
Yeah, and Gary had beef enchiladas, and I had shrimp tacos. This is a place we really like. The service is really good. They just, you know, they are helpful without being overly helpful, and I really appreciate their service, and the food is great, and it was good to get out. I haven't been out in a while other than to go. My big social life is medical appointments.
Oh, tell me about it. No, I understand that, yeah. But Lapa Lapa's been there a long time, since like about 84, and it originally, according to them, was a restaurant in Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, on the Mexican side of the border. So I don't know, but supposedly that's where it came from, and then in 84 they came to Austin.
And that what's also good about them is if you want something, you know, like a little different, like one time I wanted the crispy beef tacos, but I wanted fajita meat.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, anything they've got, you can get it made whichever way you want it. They're just, you know, really accommodating about all that, and it's really nice.
Nice.
So it was fun to do that. But,
good.
You know, and then I always say, well, we need to go out more often. And
like, yeah,
you know,
well.
And then I get
stuck
at home.
Not only is going out a bitch, but everything's so expensive now.
Oh, I know. Well, it was kind of like, well,
it's his birthday.
Poor Gary's birthday is the end of the month, and so a lot of times he gets kind of short shrift because I can't get him anything until the 1st or the 3rd. That's when we get paid.
Right.
But I was able to do it, and so I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
And, we had a good time. Good time was had by both of us.
Excellent. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
All right. We'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Get up, mama. before you get to Rusty.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was Count Basie, Rusty Dusty Blues, and Dave on the North Side wanted to hear that. 1943, Shellac, of course, Columbia. All right, so that's Rusty Dusty Blues. So, as a flip side, by the way. All right, now back to Fran in Austin. Sorry about that, Fran.
That's okay. Get up off your rusty dusty. Okay, I have to remember that.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what.
Yeah, just for people to know, like Cindy and Dave, you can hear a lot of this stuff on, it's called Radio Dizmuke, D-I-Z as in Zulu, M-U-K-E.
Really?
I think it's, is it .com? I think it's .com.
Dizmuke. I've never heard of this.
Yeah. I don't know where they got that name, but they play a lot of mostly pre-World War II stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so she wants that stuff from the 20s and all that.
Yeah. Let her listen to that rather than request Chopin hair. Yeah, boy.
To it.
Yeah, that's right.
And
not bother the rest of us. Yes, I'm looking. Looking at this at their website. It's it's there.
There's
right.
Some of that stuff that I like, but and I like, of course, I do like the big band stuff and things like that. But you know, there are places you can hear all of that that you'd ever want to hear. And so that's just a suggestion for those who like that stuff. And
A fine one, by the way. They're very limited, 1925 to 1935. But if it's in that decade, they've got all the original 78 RPMs, and they will play them.
So, Gary told me about that. I had heard of it, but I hadn't tried it myself. And I like some of that stuff, as I say. But I like the more novelty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
From then, like, there's one called Banana Oil.
Yes.
That
I've run across
Dr. Demento used to play.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know if he'd be willing to play that or not. But,
That will not kick us off the air. But
No, I didn't think it would.
No, absolutely
Banana
not.
Oil.
Yeah.
You know, so I just thought I'd put that out there for those who might want to know. And if you wouldn't mind playing some Essex.
Ooh, yes. Absolutely.
I like the Essex, and I've only heard a few of their things. I've heard, of course, Easier Said Than Done. Everybody's heard that. Walkin' Miracle.
Right. It's the flip side of Walkin' Miracle that's my favorite Essex song, and you might have heard it because I played it before, What I Don't Know Won't Hurt Me.
Oh, yeah, okay. What I like to hear are songs by groups that I like that I haven't heard before.
Yeah, well, that's the Essex, but you've heard it. They did Be Sure, Creation of Love. Yeah, they did a number of things. There will be some
anything
Essex.
You pick, I'd like to hear.
All right, good deal. Well, I'll probably play What I Don't Know Won't Hurt Me because I like it.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure. All right.
All right. So, we'll play some other Essex as well. But they were great short time that they were around. Yeah, so I'm looking at this Radio Dismuke, D-I-S-M-U-K-E. .com right now, and you can listen for absolutely free. So if it's those 10 years, well, the world is your oyster there. I can see it. All right, I'll avoid it. Especially if there's any Chopin. Yeah, I'm still trembling from that last thing. All right, James on the South Side. James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, and thank you for the wonderful R-Dub story. It was just terrific. I loved every bit of it.
Yeah, there's a few stories there that are where you start, where even it said
even Chinese workers.
Right. We're gonna talk about that. I'm going to avoid NPR donors, and I'm going to avoid anything that that barks politics of any type. But I did like cats, and we'll get to cats. But since you mentioned the Chinese workers who are not thrilled about AI either, well, firstly, on the one hand, anything that's new, people don't embrace. You know, people don't like change. But that said, apparently, you have a lot of people who are not thrilled, and apparently the launch in China was not because they were excited about a new piece of software. It was they were afraid if they didn't put this on their machines, OpenClaw, that it would not bode well. So it autonomously manages emails, browses the webs, applies for jobs, and handles dozens of other tasks with minimal human direction. What could possibly go wrong here?
A lot.
And apparently, in China, OpenClaw usage has already surpassed United States, but probably because no one in the United States is forcing you to put it on your computer. So, yes. You can get eliminated at any time is the fear.
That's not too good.
Well, yeah, and you wonder how likely, because I still say that the AI we have today is still sophisticated deductive reasoning. We're not really seeing intuitive reasoning as yet. We will, maybe, and then I'll start to worry. But at this point, I'm not terribly afraid. I'm just bothered. So, yeah, that's the deal. So, all right. The intensity is a function of scale and speed. 600 million people in China, over one-third of the population, already use generative AI, according to the Chinese government, that explicitly frames AI adoption as a national economic priority, pouring enormous resources into developing and directing local governments to subsidize AI startups. In fact, several governments are offering up to $1.4 million in grants for building on OpenClaw. I'll tell you what, this could be an economic boom if you're a software developer. But other than that, there is psychologically a disconnect here, people worrying that AI will eventually replace them.
Yes.
Well, considering some people I've dealt with, it probably would be just as well. So, you know, as long as we're not replacing the top tier, we might not mind, but ultimately it never stops there.
Oh, we'll mind eventually.
Yeah. Well, you and I may not be here to mind, but somebody will mind, yes. And apparently they're changing their educational structure in China. And again, pressuring everybody to prepare themselves for the future, i.e. AI. So that's the deal.
Oh, yes.
They did a survey of working adults, not only in China, but in 34 nations, and found that a third of workers strongly believe AI can replace them. And they're actively seeking new jobs as a result. Now, that's interesting because you think to yourself, what exactly could you do that you won't be replaced with AI? And unfortunately, that's where the list gets scary.
Yeah, there's not that many. In fact, if I remember, I think it was Bill Gates himself who pointed out that about 90% of jobs could eventually be replaced by AI.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's really interesting because, you know, we've talked a lot about this as we're undergoing societally a paradigm shift like we've never seen. Really, I've said it many times, mankind has only seen two real inventions. One was the wheel, and the other is the build-up to digital, really starting with the Industrial Revolution, and we're not seeing the other side of it yet. But this transforms society, and what it does more than anything is it takes that human element out of it, that one-on-one feel-good interaction. And I mean, I agree that there are times you come away from an interaction with customer service feeling anything but good. But still, for the most part, that one-on-one connection was part and parcel of your satisfaction. And when you take that away completely, you start to see people who are acting on their last nerve. And that's when we start to see real trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It all comes under the heading of thank God I'm not young.
Unfortunately, I think they kind of don't really, there's some who don't really think of it that way.
Well, if you're not uncomfortable now, then you can get to the article that you shared of the $30 a month app that lets someone watch everything you do. And we're back to AI again. AI Forensics published an investigation that should make you uncomfortable as far as that goes. Analyzing 2.8 million messages across 16 Telegram groups, they documented a thriving underground economy built around surveilling intimate partners. 24,000 plus people using spyware tools, hacking for hire services, and non-consensual intimate images, most of it aimed at women known personally to their attackers. Now, I look at this and get tired just reading it. My thought is, if you're really questioning to that degree your partner, get rid of your partner. Don't bother to expend the effort for this. But apparently, people are buying hacking tools to use against wives, lovers, friends, and it's not a criminal enterprise, which is really what's frightening. You might call it stalkerware. I would. And you install it on the target's phone, and all you need is brief physical access to an unlocked device. It'll invisibly run in the background. No icon, no notification, no trace. And the person who installed it logs into a remote dashboard on their own device, and they can see in real time everything happening on the target's phone. Text messages, every app, call history, location, photos, etc. I don't know what to say. Of course, you know, if somebody did this to me, firstly, they'd have to find the phone because I usually can't. There are no apps on the phone, and I've never yet gotten a call or a message. So I'm not 100% sure what they think they'd see.
I think they would say, I'm bored. Give me another assignment.
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, I don't use them because I can't see them very well, and they give me other problems. But John insisted I have one so that when we're not together, I turn it on. And he's got the number, and that's the only person who does. And that's the only call that's ever come into this phone. I don't even get wrong numbers on it, I'm pleased to say.
I'm certain that 99% of people out there would say, can I live in your oyster for one day?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I guess I got the lucky phone. I don't get anything, but I have no intent to use it. So if someone wants to find it, and since I never know where it is at any given time, and put spyware on it, that's just fine with me.
I'm almost reminded of the unfortunate of the.
Oh, you got, you're talking into your phone, talking to the mouthpiece.
Okay. I'm reminded of some variant of the Who's song, We Don't Get Fooled Again.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because this is a case of where right now it's perfectly legal, but already people are talking about how to maybe close this loophole because think about how it can be used to your real disinterest, and that is scary.
I think there's already, if I remember correctly, there was a movie might have been.
Oh, okay. Well, if there isn't, I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, I suspect a suspense or horror one, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was neat. Let's get to cats, because we rarely think about cats as morale boosters. Now, as I say this, I know that cat lovers will have a fit at me even mentioning that. But you can see it. You know, you go online and you see all these videos of people and their dog adoptions and all this stuff. But the idea of cats boosting morale is not as common. But apparently, World War One include extensive use of cats. In the trenches to boost morale. How about that?
Yeah, that when I saw that, I said, well, I had to have something for something that was called the Inside the war to end all wars.
Yeah, right. Well, in World War II, they did double duty. They caught rats as well as kept people company. And Simon, a cat from 1943, was honored, got a medal for disposing many rats, even though he was wounded by a shell blast. And so they claimed his behavior was of the highest order. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, they scratch you and they bite. That's all I need to know. Get out of the foxhole. I know that's terrible. I'll probably get calls and emails, but really, they have sharp teeth and sharp claws. That's enough for me.
Yeah, of course they. Of course, when you think of these weird YouTube videos where they usually have a cat and a dog having some sort of weird disagreement, where like the dog barks and the cat barks.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. I think I've got to do two things. So stay right where you are, and then we're going to look at some cat stats coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm thinking about a long time ago. I got my big thrill just watching this show. Saturday morning, me and Big Lou would catch the matinee and watch Slash the Roo. I whoop up on them bad folks like you. But old Lassie faded just like on the screen. Best damn cowboy my money had ever seen. He never kissed ladies or played them guitars. But when he cracked his whip, he sent my head to the stars. And whooped up on them bad folks like you. Bless the rule, we gonna pop all them fools in time. Bless the rule, we gonna pop all them fools in time. I made me a whip, a cape and a hat. The Yankees were winning. I didn't have a bat. The faucets were leaking.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James, and that is for Nayota. That's Lash LaRue, Starbuck. Yeah, private stock, mid-70s there. 400,000 cat bites in the United States alone reported as a health problem annually. Oh, we'll pick that up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There's Floyd in Iowa who wanted to hear it. Ghost Riders in the Sky on Amy in 1960. They were I think they had fun recording that. They were actually four kids from Connecticut, a brother and sister, their cousin, and one other guy. The drummer was the gal, Claire Lane. I think it was Claire Litke, and her brother Richard were the backbone of that. But Bonnie had asked about instrumentals, and certainly from the 60s, and then Floyd had requested Ghost Riders in the Sky, so I thought appropriate that we handle that. Yeah, now, I'm sure I'm going to get all sorts of heat on my cat stance, but, and you know, there are actually many of them are very pretty, and the Maine Coons are just beautiful, big cat. And I wouldn't do that if my life depended on it, because you look at the numbers of people who are bitten by their cats every year, and that's, remember, this is reported to medical authorities, that is over 400,000 Americans a year. Okay, I'm done with the story. Get out of the foxhole now. So I thought, what about scratching? Well, 83.9% of cat owners say it's a problem to one degree or another. Hope they're talking more furniture than their arms. But doctors say over 12,500 cases of cat scratch fever happen every year in the United States. So, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to trim their teeth, to say the least. And you don't want it to claw them. That's downright horrible. So the bottom line is I go with, get out of my foxhole. But, man, I'll tell you what, they were a comfort, they say, in World War II. Have you ever owned a cat, James?
I had a relative who owned a cat. Actually, I did have one I was friendly with. He wasn't too bad. He was, of course, he was kind of quiet.
Yeah, well, that's good. And that, like I say, they're awfully pretty. I'm sure they're lovely, but that predilection to bite you. And when I mention that, here's the deal. 80% of the bites infect. You know, that's a high number. So I don't know about you, but I'll keep my hands to myself. Thank you very much. So I'll just look at them from afar on YouTube. But apparently, they were morale boosters especially during World War I, but World War II as well. Interesting article.
Oh, I did. There was another thing about AI abuse. I sent you one about AI abuse. Deepfake news.
About what?
AI abuse, deep fake news. Where what happens is you take the picture of a regular person in the regular, and then
Your phone is fighting you, or you're fighting your phone. I don't know. But yes, when you start to get to the news in general, AI or not, there's a lot of scary angles to this. And this is probably not the show to discuss any of that. But man, oh, man, I do worry about that. So, interestingly. Now, one thing, and I don't think it's really political, well-known stars in Hollywood related to presidents. Now, of course, you wonder how close, because if you go far enough down, we're all related to each other. But Tom Hanks is reported to Abraham Lincoln. Who knew?
That was interesting.
But again, I think it was a distant relative as far as that goes. But yeah, ultimately we're all related to each other. But a wonderful group of articles as usual, and always good to hear from you. And I'm so delighted you called.
Okay, you take care.
You too. Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right. So James is back in action. Good to see him. And of course, we have Bob of Master Control fame, who sends just wonderful links. And you have no idea how much this helps me. It truly does. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do, especially your calls as well. All right. Now, Cindy wants, I think, to defend her request. No, there's no defending Chopin. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that was just the wrong title and everything. But anyhow, I'm James on the South Side's mother for the day. No going out without a jacket until after Memorial Day.
Okay.
In Chicago. You know, please. I mean, you could get pneumonia from the wind.
You just never know.
All right. But anyhow, the song was... The name of the song is Rainy Weather Rose, R-O-S-E, by A.D. Schifrin, Schubert, and his Ceylon Orchestra, Irving Kaufman.
Yeah, 1928. Hopefully Mr. Schubert isn't related to classical music of same name, God knows. But I don't think so. Rainy Weather Rose. Well, I'll get up the courage to play it. It won't be tonight.
Okay, and then the other song is She's Got It by Ted Weems Orchestra.
Yeah.
Parker Gibbs.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Thanks.
Okay, there's one more that's really really good. Where is it? Let me see. I'm sorry. I'm looking for it. Where is Me and the Man on the Moon?
I played that. I played that.
You did.
Yes, recently.
Okay, that's it. And James, wear a jacket. I mean, when I was working in the South Loop, it was starting to get warmer, and I still would wear my fur coat. And somebody said to me, "A fur coat?" And I said, "It's windy, and I get that neuralgia in my back."
Well, there you go.
And then if the one time I didn't wear it, I got sick.
All right.
Okay, James.
Right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So there you go. Yes. Stay warm when it is otherwise cold. So good advice. 888-876-5593. Karen in Madison has a request. Oh, you do, Karen? What is it?
Hi. Well, did I hear you say something about one of my friends? I just held hands with a squirrel yesterday.
Oh, that's nice.
And it was the most touching moment. It was so gentle. That squirrel didn't even put a scratch. And, you know, but I don't make a habit out of it or anything. I got a reacher now, and it takes it off the reacher.
Okay.
So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in when I heard you say you didn't like rats.
Yes. No, squirrels are not typically aggressive, but they are known to break your skin, especially when feeding. So the reacher is a good choice. Reachers are quite handy.
Yeah.
Quite handy.
Well, I didn't mean to do that. Reached up. We were at the one window, one of three windows that are left. The rest are gone from hail. I got hailed on here. Terrible. So has Jim called at all? It seems like it's been a while.
Yes, the other day he did. Absolutely. We got a full report.
Oh, is he doing okay?
Yeah, well, reasonably. Reasonably.
Oh, yeah. I think of him, and Bear's still with him.
Yes, at the moment.
Oh,
that is
Why
true.
Why can't he move to Madison?
I don't know. Well, I think he'd probably be better off in Illinois just because he's from there and has family there. Yeah. But he claims that cost is prohibitive no matter what he does. Now, my feeling is that there's got to be an answer there somewhere. But that's up to him to decide to embrace it.
Yeah.
You know,
what a mess.
Always.
What a mess. Can I ask one request?
Sure, what do you need, Karen? I'm waiting.
Wait a minute. I wrote it down.
Okay.
Where did it go? Mack the Knife. By Ella Fitzgerald.
Really? All right. Traditional Mack the Knife. You no Bobby Darin. You want Ella Fitzgerald. All right.
I like Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay, we'll do it.
If that's all right.
Absolutely. You got it. Not tonight, but this week, I promise.
Okay. Right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Good to hear from you.
All right. Yeah, you too.
Vice versa, whatever. Okay.
All right. Okay,
take
good.
Take it easy out there.
All right, thanks. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. On WGN Radio.
waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hump.
I'm Raleigh James. There it is, the Hucklebuck. And that was Dave on the North Side who requested that. And that actually is an interesting story all the way around. The first recording was Roy Milton and a Solid Senders, and you just heard it right there. But interestingly enough, it actually came from another song. Now, there's 107 versions of that. One of them, the first, well, D-Natural Blues, we got to get there, right there. Because D-Natural Blues was actually what the Hucklebuck was theoretically based on. Well, they're about the same period of time. And Paul Williams and his Hucklebuckers were probably the first with that, although Lucky Millinder called it D-Natural Blues. But as far as, I know, confusing as hell, that was 49. And as far as the Paul Williams, that sounded like this. And you've heard it, maybe. Very nice version as far as that, recorded December 15th, 1948. Then Lucky Millinder, as I say, same song, although a title change on that to D-Natural Blues. So whether it's Roy Milton or Paul Williams or Lucky Millinder, well, isn't it interesting? Because if you were a fan of the movie Hairspray, or if you remember the Madison, a dance that actually was created in all places, Columbus, Ohio, but certainly big on the Buddy Dean show, and you'll remember Ray Bryant combo, and as you listen to the Madison, gee, you realize, my God, that's the Hucklebuck.
It's Madison time. Hit it. You're looking good. A big, strong line. When I say hit it, I want you to go two up and two back with a big, strong turn and back to the Madison. Hit time. You're looking good. Now, when I say hit it, I want you to go two up and two back, double cross, come out of it with the rifleman. Hit Doctor.
And that's Eddie Morrison doing the calls. But Ray Bryant Combo in the background. Actually, Ray Bryant Combo released it without Eddie Morrison as the Hucklebuck in 1960. So there's been about 300 versions of that, so we won't be reviewing them all. But I don't think that that probably Dave on the North Side knew what he was getting into when he requested that. But there it is. All right, so got a half hour to go. Jim in Richmond is checking in. We'll see what's the latest there. Yep, I'm still on the bandwagon to get on the move, but that's just me. We'll talk to Chris in Greensboro. Oh, back to movies, of course. That's Chris's passion, don't you know? And there's room for you as well. Get calls saying, is it full shows from here on out? Well, it is to around Labor Day. That's right, no interruptions. So 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. live Monday through Thursday night through then. And also got some complaints that I didn't get the replay up soon enough from last night's Monday Night Trivia. And it was up toward the about an hour before the show started. So that's it for the stream. But it will remain as a download in perpetuity at RaleighStream.net, should you want to hear it that way. In the meantime, we'll find out what's going on at the world at large, and back to you on WGN Radio.
People are talking, telling me that you're untrue. I wonder why they keep telling me what I should do. For what I don't know won't hurt me. It can't break my heart in two. What I don't know won't hurt me. All that I know is that I'm so in love with you. They're trying to hurt me. They want to see tears in my eyes. Just ignore them, believe that they're telling me lies. What I don't know won't hurt me. It can't break my heart in two. What I don't know won't hurt me. All that I know is that I'm so in love with you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Essex. Yes, the flip side of a walking miracle. What I don't know won't hurt me. And I probably mentioned before that when I was at WQAM as production director, still playing vinyl back then, and occasionally, though, they were starting to use early cart machines and things of that nature. And so whenever a cart was going to be used, or a tape, it could have been something else, but assuming it was a cart, they would have rotation slugs. In other words, records that would just tell you play cart number whatever, rather than whatever the 45 was. So the rotation slugs always had like tape over them so you couldn't play them, and they'd say all of them, rotation slug. And I made it my business, because there was nothing else to do late at night if I was producing a commercial or this, that, or the other thing, to when I had some time, pull off the tapes, clean off the records, and see what they were. And two that I remember, probably the only two I remember, that I thought were terrific records was What I Don't Know Won't Hurt Me, The Essex. I thought that was great. And the other one was This Love by Love Potion, or later incarnations by the Joy Tones. But both of them I thought were terrific records and didn't deserve to be rotation slugs. So needless to say, I took them out of rotation and brought them home. Or so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I think that we concluded with Karen. And Karen was mentioning Jim. And Jim is checking in Richmond, Walworth County, don't you know? So, Jim, how are you?
thank you, Raleigh, for taking my call. I just want to let you know that John gave Karen in Chicago my phone number, and we had a conversation on Friday. It lasted over an hour.
Wow.
And she's living in the neighborhood where I grew up.
Oh, wow.
And we got along very well. We discussed a lot of things. And as far as Bonnie has concerned, I thank you for your input.
Yeah.
But I worked a lot with the, ADCR or whatever it was, and they got me the best coverage.
Yeah.
For my, you're right, and they gave me the best coverage for my insurance out of Humana. And every doctor that I go to, I have no copays.
Good.
And every prescription, I have no copays except for my insulin. And I think that was great.
Yeah.
I am working very hard on getting things done. And right now I'm dealing with the colonoscopy, the colon cancer.
The blood test. Thing. Yeah, the blood test.
Right.
Yeah.
And they sent me a letter yesterday, and I asked my friend that lives across the lake from me if she could read it, but she never got my text message. And it's, you know, they want me to sign something, and I don't know what it is. And then at the same time, I got a letter from Humana that says they authorized it, but they have to review what it's going to cost. And I can't read them, and I asked the app that you gave me to read it, and, you know, and they just go at it 90 miles an hour, and I can't understand what they're saying.
Can't you slow it down?
I don't know. I don't know how to do that. But all I'm saying is that I'm working at everything that you and all your listeners are asking me to do. And I'm trying very hard. So, and I just want, you know, I'm not sitting here on my ass and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working hard at getting through all this. And Bonnie, thank you. And Karen, thank you. And I sent a message through John to Fran to give me a call, but John says she refuses to call me. But I can understand that.
I think it's just time. Some people just don't have the time, and that's
right.
What it comes down to. But you know,
right.
There are a number of handheld devices that read text from anything, from books, screens, labels. It's a point and click thing. Have you tried to investigate any of those devices?
Right. And right now, it's a matter of, you know, getting around to do those things. My brother's wife is in the hospital, so, you know, and stuff like that. And I have prescriptions I need to pick up. And, you know, I'm going through a lot of stuff, but I'm trying very hard
right.
to deal with all these things. And I want everyone to know
right.
I appreciate what you're all doing for me. But I'm trying.
All right. Well, keep trying, Jim. Don't give up.
Right. And
right.
I want you to know that I'm not giving up.
All right. Good deal.
And thank you, everyone.
All right.
Peace to all of you.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim. All right. So 888-876-5593. We got Chris in Greensboro. No, he's not in Greensboro either. But he is in South Carolina. And we'll pick it up right there after this on WGN Radio.
The lights in the harbor. Drift on the sea of heartbreak, lost love, loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine, how
of a heartbreak. How did I lose you? Of a heartbreak, lost love, loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine. How I wish you were mine again, my dear. I want to see your tears, see of a heartbreak.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Floyd in Iowa requested that as well. 1961 on RCA. Don Gibson, Sea of Heartbreak. Chet Atkins produced it. Don didn't write it, though he was a heck of a writer. He wrote things like I Can't Stop Loving You that Ray Charles later had a big hit on the R&B charts with. But Sea of Heartbreak was actually Hal David, but not with Burt Bacharach. I think it was Paul Hampton. So that's the deal on Floyd's request. All right. So John doesn't usually get angry at all or perturbed or upset, but he said, I am now. But okay, all right, that's the headline, what's going on? And he said, I'm mad I never, ever told Jim that Fran refused to call him. Never. I said, okay. He said, I told him I'd take the number and I doubt that she'd be able to call him, but I never said she refused because I hadn't even given her the number. Okay. So, I know. Whatever it is that upsets you, we'll try to rectify here. But that's the deal there. So Jim, I don't know if you misunderstood, but Fran did not refuse. John hadn't even gotten her the number yet. He just said that she doubted. He doubted that she'd have the time, and that probably is true. So I'm glad that he was able to talk with her. Well, all right. So 888-876-5593 would be Chris, not in Greensboro, but in Greenwood, South Carolina. So, Chris, what's up tonight?
Hey, Ron, how's it going?
All right. How about yourself?
Going good. I saw the new Michael Jackson movie last night.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah,
let's have a review.
It was great. You know, Jermaine Jackson's son played Michael on there.
Okay.
And he really nailed it. He really did good on his moves. He just looked just like Michael.
Yeah, Jafar, I guess it's Jafar Jackson had that role, right?
Yeah.
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 Good.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah.
So, go ahead. Jafar, and I guess they had to have other Michaels too, because of course it was a biopic. So Giuliano Valdi, I think, was in it, and so covered Jackson's rise to fame. And so you're a big Michael Jackson fan, you know all. What in this movie, assuming it was accurate, surprised you?
Yeah, what surprised me is, you know, the dad, Joe Jackson, on there. I'm going to give two little bit spoils, but I'm not going to go deep in it. Is, you know, Joe, he was the mean one, and he pulled out his belt, and, you know, he was whipping Michael, and that was hard to watch.
But did that surprise you, or had you heard about that?
I've seen it when it was on the American Dream miniseries in '92.
Right. So that was not a surprise. That's why I say, was there anything in the movie that you said, wow, I never knew that?
Yeah, and speaking of that, before he did the Thriller, they did a short clip of my old Vincent Price movies, and guess what's one of them? The original Fly movie.
Okay.
They showed the reveal of the Fly head. And then they showed the enormous help me seeing it before that. And I didn't know they was going to put that on there because it was inspiring for him to do Thriller.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, good. Glad you saw it. Glad you liked it. Most of the critics liked it also.
Yeah, but I did not know that one of my favorite movies going to be in this biopic.
Nope. That would be a surprise. Yeah.
And they thought about me while they looked at me like, that's your movie.
Well, good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I always wanted to see that on the big screen, that iconic fly movie. I think I got a snippet of it on the big screen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the song sounded good, and the acting was good. But it only stopped in 1988, and they said they're going to do another part of it. But it's not a full life story from childhood to 88.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they just did songs like Beat It, Billie Jean, Thriller, and Human Nature, and I'm Bad.
Uh-huh.
And some Jackson 5 songs.
And Antoine Fuqua directed it, and that was Harvey Fuqua was his uncle. So everybody who's a Moonglows fan or all that, of course, Harvey Fuqua was married to Gwen Gordy, and Antoine was the director of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I might plan on seeing it again, but I saw it with some of my family and some of my friends all in one, and we saw it. It was $5 Tuesday.
Yeah, nice. Really nice.
So if y'all want to give Michael a shot, go to the theater and see it because it's number one movie in the world.
Okay, excellent. And it just came out a few days ago. Good deal.
All right. Well, what they don't have is the allegations and all that junk on there from the later years.
Well, that would be the later years. So it'll be interesting to see as if there ever will be a sequel. I know they've talked about it, but we'll see.
Yeah, because the movie's 2 hours long and... You can't, in 2 hours, you can't do a full life story.
No, of course not. But like you say, part of the latter story is not so golden. And so doing that might not be an easy movie to make. And who knows? It was never intended to be a two-parter. But since it's been close to debut and now it has debuted, there's talk that there will be. But there's no definitive thing about that as far as that goes. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
All right, thanks.
And also,
what?
And you know who's the TV station celebrating their 70th anniversary?
Well, yeah, we talked about that. Yes,
it's SPA. Yep. Worked 70 years.
Right. That's it.
Yeah, because you know at the beginning they was blocked from being signed on the air by two UHF stations.
Right,
WTVL
we talked about
WTVL and WAIM.
Right. We talked about that, absolutely. Yep. So yeah, absolutely. WSPA TV7, happy 70th. All right, talk to you soon. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Yes, and that's a fine Nexstar station, I might add. And Tommy is in Chicago. He's going to close it out tonight. Tommy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Robbie.
How are you?
Great show. Great show tonight. Great show last night. Very, very interesting. That soul stuff you were playing, I felt like I was at a party or something.
All that fine then, East L.A. stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then you topped it off with I Want to Love I Can See.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask another question. Did anyone get the bumper stumper? Not the bumper stumper, but the question.
No, I revealed it. All of those songs were unknown records by artists who had big hits, but the unknown records were huge in the East L.A. lowrider community. So everything I played was a lowrider record. So
that was the one I mean.
Yeah.
But the question about
No. The question, yes, that's next week's Straggler.
I will be here.
Okay, I'm counting on you to take some guesses.
All right. I don't want to mess up.
No, there's no way to mess up. This show starts messed up. You can't get it worse. Don't worry about a thing. So
that's why we love you.
Okay, talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no, I mean, hell, I can't even tell time. Are you kidding? There's no way to ruin this show. It comes in ruined. But I try to just have a good time with you as far as that goes. You know, we talk often about food and what's in our food supply. And did you know there are 7 American foods that are banned in other countries? And when I saw the first one, I said, this isn't possible. You know, I was waiting to hear what it was, thinking, oh, God, it's some meat concoction or God knows. Yeah, right. What is that? Scrapple in that breakfast amalgamation in Philadelphia. No, Ritz crackers? Well, it isn't sold in many EU countries, including Denmark, Iceland, Norway, Hungary, Austria, and Switzerland. Why? Partially hydrogenated cottonseed oil. And so many countries in the EU are prohibiting Ritz crackers. Who knew? Twinkies? Oh, for all the reasons in the world. Right. Norway, Finland, and Austria contain heavily regulated ingredients that are banned, such as yellow number 5, that's tartrazine, yellow 6, red 40, oh, you know about red 40, and food dyes that require warning labels or in some EU countries are outright banned. So no Twinkies. All right. Stovetop stuffing. You know, that isn't totally surprising, is it? Right. Because what's in it? All right. Well, one of the things that may be in it is the preservatives BHA and BHT. Ooh, those are absolutely banned in a number of EU countries, as well as the UK and Japan. They're flavor enhancers, don't you know, that prevent oxidation and spoilage. Yes, and create blood clots. Other than that, yeah, eat up. Coffee Mate? Well, shelf-stable creamer in the United States, but several countries in the EU have banned it. Norway, Iceland, Denmark, and Switzerland determining too many hydrogenated oils and trans fats, increasing the risks of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and Alzheimer's. Oh, pork. You see, they show you bacon. Oh, man. Nature's perfect food. Well, apparently, and of course, a number of Islamic countries prohibit pork for religious reasons, as far as that goes. But other countries have strict laws about importing it, particularly countries throughout the EU, because of ingredients like ractopamine, a drug used to increase muscle growth in pigs. Well, yeah, you're eating it, remember. If they put it into the pigs and then you eat the pork, well, scientists have linked it against all sorts of forms of cancer and heart risk and high blood pressure and God only knows what else. Fruit Loops? Oh, man. Gatorade? Yeah. All right, well, yeah. On that note, 21 hours from now, we'll reconvene. It'll be a Gatorade and Fruit Loop-free show, but just about anything else of unimportance whatsoever will go. And your requests, too, coming up. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your call. But above all, I thank you for calling. Do it again tomorrow night, right here. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Brewless Plus. Sauce Scheme and Grand Theft Choco. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Boneheads, no county for patrolmen. The sheriff's office in little old Castilla County, Colorado, is bare bones to begin with. Now fully 4 out of the 7 schlubs bearing badges there, including the sheriff, are under indictment, making blazing shambles look like once upon a slime in the West. The notorious numbskulls are accused of showing up to a report of skeletal remains and taking the skull away in a dirty paper bag, leaving the bulk of the bones behind. But might things be a little safer now that Rio Bonzo is down to just 3 deputies to patrol the entire county? Culinary Con, a catering kingpin in Manhattan, a saucy schemer with a simmering scam is accused of stiffing staff, shorting service, and serving up a buffet of bogus behavior, then tossing a twist claiming he's a protected class because he's Sicilian. Courtroom chaos cooks as workers say they were wronged, while the defense dishes defiance. The judge now tastes the testimony in this spicy civil scrap. They say it's cultural cover. We say it's kitchen-grade con with extra cheese and zero credibility. Hot chocolate. Who can take a cargo? The highwayman can. Gimme a take of them Kit Kat bars in Europe. A shipment of more than 400,000 of the crispy chocolate-covered wafer snacks hijacked along the highway from Italy to Poland. Like squatter for chocolates, milk bars booty weighing in at 12 tons. But the how cheated is Kit Kat caper mystifying management, who acknowledge the crook's exceptional taste. The gonzo grab-and-go snack attack looks like a chocoholic's scheme come true.
And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.